Blog Good morning. Talk Radio.
It's June. My mind is all the way at the bottom of the year.
You trying to get us all the way? Trying to get us to welcome in 2017 a little bit too soon?
No, girl. The thing is, I'm looking at the dates, and for some reason, I don't know why November popped into my head. But anyways, my apologies, people. Yes, it is June. It's the sixth month of the year. That's what I meant to say. Anyways, it's
live radio. We just okay.
yeah, it happens. This is what real life and I guess radio is about. But in any event, So last week we talked about knowing your worth, and it was I don't know if it was just me, but it was a phenomenal show. We had great conversation, great dialogue. We thank you for all the guests that called in and that was listening live. We got a lot of great feedback that people were commenting and stuff like that, even on Twitter. I think I got some message on Twitter. So thank everyone that tuned in and listened. And this week we are going to be talking about, it's the sixth month of the year, and this is usually around the time of the year that people reassess their goals, make new goals, tick off what they have accomplished, or pick up the speed if they feel they are lacking behind some of the goals that they previously set for themselves at the beginning of the year. Also, news and stuff like that and other, whether you want to call it journalism arena, look at what has happened across the country and within our own country throughout the course of the year. At this point, and we see where we're going and see if we're on the right track or not, which brings us to our topic this morning that me and my beautiful host is going to be discussing, which is 2016 half year in review. So we're going to be talking about from politics to entertainment to natural disaster. So, go ahead.
Half the year is over. We've had so much that has gone on. It seems as though I'm like, there's something about 2016. But I'm pretty sure we say the same thing about 2017.
Yeah.
2015 has some crazy stuff going on, too, such as just a whole lot of stuff as far as natural disasters, things happening like, ISIS, the war on terrorism. We had a lot of unexpected. We had quite a few unexpected events this year as well, some major policy changes that took place. So, but bringing it now into the current, it's just every week there is either a local story at the local level, and this doesn't matter where you are. If you are in Detroit, Florida. I mean, Detroit, Miami, Anaheim, Chicago, a little town in Virginia, doesn't matter where you are, at the local level, there is some story that is major that's breaking news just probably in your own community or a couple of maybe a thousand miles just around that no one outside of that circle will ever know about. And then there's some major local news that goes national. It's just no telling of what happens. Some stories are a big, big story, and then the next day something overshadows that particular news story. It's just unpredictable, and we just roll with the punches. As Stacy said, this is half of the year. It is June 11th, so we are smack dab in the middle of 2016. Mm-hmm. A lot of us started off with New Year's resolutions January 1. I know this year And I think last year I said I'm not going to do any resolutions because by February I forgot about them, you know, and I don't think about them again until December. Let's just keep it real. There's only like a 60 – for my short attention span, I only have a 60-day window in which I actually pay attention to what's going on as far as my resolutions. But throughout the year, and we had a show about this in January, throughout the year we should be managing our goals. And it's also good to have an accountability partner so that when you do reach a quarter, you're able to say, okay, where have I been, where have I gone, and where have I progressed, and where do I need to go? But with that being said, not trying to move too far off the topic, we're just going to go into some of the major events that has happened. I know we started off this year with the loss of pop icon David Bowie. And I have forgotten that he was married to Iman. Like, when I see her, I don't think about him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I see him, I don't think about her. But what was so beautiful was that once he died, he actually died January 10th, 2016, which was kind of, I guess, bittersweet because he had just had a birthday. He was born January 8th, 1947, and he actually passed away two days after his, I don't know, what would that be, after his 69th birthday.
Birthday, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He died of liver cancer, and during that time, he was actually working on releasing a album. I'm not sure if he was necessarily in the studio. I don't know all the details. I'm not a David Bowie fan. Hopefully, I'm even saying it right.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it is David Bowie. But
yeah, that's how you pronounce it. It's Bowie.
I do have respect for the impact that he has made in the music world. No, you cannot discount him. Me, who don't even, I couldn't tell you right now, this is just my ignorance,
mm-hmm.
I could not tell you one David Bowie song at all off the top of my head. I can't. But I'm pretty sure that I've heard of him, heard
uh-huh.
of his song. And with that being said, it just speaks to the volume. He lives beyond his untimely passing. Like, I know who he is. I know David Bowie. I know who he is. If I see a picture of him, I can identify him. But that's pretty much it. That's how iconic this man is.
So may I ask you, would you say that he was probably the first boy George? You know, because he's also from, because he died in Manhattan, in New York is where he died on the 10th. But he kind of, back in the day when he was, you know, because he's more like a kind of a rock star pop musician, he kind of remind me a little bit because he, I think, is the first one I remember coming out with the colorful hair, even before, you know, Madonna and all of those people doing that. And, you know, those colorful flamboyant outfits and stuff, kind of like what Boy George was doing. You know, so to me, it's like he's kind of set the trend. So I was just wondering if you have the same opinion, if you thought that looking back at some of the things he did in his rock and roll days.
Maybe. I would never make a correlation. I definitely know more about Boy George than I do about David Bowie.
Yeah, and he was wearing makeup and eyeshadow and all of that stuff, too. So when I look back at it, like, that's the first thing that jumped out at me. Like, I thought that he kind of broke the barriers for what some of the rock and roll stars were doing, you know, that followed him, you know, Madonna, Boy George, you know, quite a bit of them, you know, the Osborne band group that he was in. Can't even remember what they're called now. I think he kind of broke the mold, I think. But that's just my opinion, but that just crossed my mind when you were saying it.
That's a pretty good comparison. I would have never picked that out. off the top, but from what you're saying, that does make sense. That's not far-fetched at all. I'm pretty sure he has, or I know he has, inspired generations of artists. And I know it was a major, or it is a major loss to the music community, the fact that he is gone.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. I mean, if you look up some of the artists that you mentioned, they
mm-hmm.
may be able to say, yeah, he has an inspiration. He had inspired me.
Right.
So, yeah, his legacy, what he has left behind, is probably hard to replicate. He is definitely one of a kind.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that, because, you know, I just remember him being I was still a kid, and of course I came up in the Madonna generation, Michael Jackson, Boy George, Cindy Brickspear, I think is her name. She's from England too, that they used to, you know, they were doing all of that stuff with the crazy makeup, the crazy hair, kind of hairdos and stuff like that. But I remember that he was the first one that I could remember, you know, because my sisters were big into pop music at the time, and Teen Beats magazine and all that type of stuff, that was doing that, because he was, you know, he was way before them. He was born in 1969. When I remember him, I kind of remember him, to me, in my head, as the one that broke the mold, you know, for them to dare to take risks and to stand out and to do different things with their art and in expressing themselves from a musical standpoint.
You know, and Stacey, you're so dead on. Just when you said Boy George, I actually pulled up artists inspired by David Bowie.
He was on the list? Oh, wow. I didn't even, because I was just thinking back to my sister's days and us dancing on the, you know, back home in the island and the Verandah, because my sister was into the beatbops and all of that type of stuff. So that's how I even knew anything about those kind of artists, was because that's what she was into. So, you know, as a kid, as the younger one, you know, you hang around your bigger sisters. So it was kind of like that. And that's what he had reminded me of, those, you know, because men never use, I think he's the, as I said, into entertainment, but then when I look at it, was wearing eyeshadow and mascara, and it had his hair with a different color every week when their Teen Beats magazine came out.
U2 lead singer Bono believes U2 would not have been around if it wasn't for, I guess they called him Thin White Duke. I don't know if that's a song or a name.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
He told Rolling Stone, it's not exaggerating to say that what Elvis meant to America, David Bowie meant to the UK and
yeah.
Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
It was that radical shift in consciousness.
Wow.
Boy George goes on to tweet, says Bowie's new song has made me cry, happy tears, of course. And I believe he's speaking in relation to the song that was released around his death.
Yeah.
Motley Crue had a fond relationship with David Bowie. And it goes on and on and on and on
mm-hmm.
and on. Marilyn Manson, he says, today there seems to be a lack of icons and rock stars in general.
Yeah.
When I grew up, there was David Bowie and Iggy Pop. So he pays respect to Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
He even said, David Bowie is my influence.
Wow. Yeah. Because
she has that makeup too.
Because I said, I think he was the first I saw to do it back then, when, you know, before Madonna and all of them. Because my sister's a big age gap between me and my sister, so I never knew men did all of that when it comes to music. But then I realized music, I guess, was an expression and as a, you know, art form. But he was the first one. I think they kind of all, you know. Yeah, when it comes to taking the risk in terms of what they look like and the makeup, the hair, the clothing, and all of that, he was very radical. He was out there with it.
And lastly, Madonna, which you also mentioned, Madonna, he says, Madonna once accepted an award for David Bowie, and her speech was a complete homage to the star. She said, "Before I saw David Bowie live, I was just your normal, dysfunctional, rebellious teenager from the Midwest. He has truly changed my life. I've always had a sentimental attachment to David Bowie." So these are major, and it goes on and on and on. Adam Lambert from American Idol, Depeche Mode, Queen. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And there's probably many others. I'm pretty sure that's not even on this list. There's only like 29 people on this list. But the website is big. For those of you who love David Bowie and want to see the list of all of the major artists that was impacted or inspired by David Bowie, you can go to gigwise.com and search David Bowie, rest in peace. But yeah, that was the beginning. It was like, okay, wow, David Bowie passed away. An icon that I was completely shocked the way just 3 months later, and that's Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just keep it real. Everybody that is famous, it doesn't matter if you're at the peak of your career or at the lows of the lows, I would probably say one out of maybe 100 in one particular genre, you'll hear some type of story about how they died, and it's not true.
Yeah.
It's always rumors. I've heard 101 stories about Samuel L. Jackson being dead, Morgan Freeman, who else? Carlton off of Fresh Prince, he's always there. You know, Martin Lawrence one time, I think a couple years ago, he was dead. What's the comedian's name that was on Friday?
Is it Chris Tucker?
No, the other Day-Day.
Oh.
I can't think of his name. Oh, my gosh, it's crazy. I have a crush on him, too. I can't think of his name. But anyway, he actually took Chris Tucker's place, Tucker left.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, Mike Epps.
Oh, Mike Epps. Oh.
I heard a rumor about him a couple years back. Somebody is always dead, and then you look it up, and then that's not the case. But when I was told, I was like, whatever. I went first, where do we all go? I mean, let's just keep it honest.
Social media.
Right. Huh?
Social media.
Social media. I didn't go to CNN. I wasn't near a television. I quit right on, pulled out that good old Facebook. And I saw nothing but on my timeline, people changing their pictures to Prince. I was like, well, wait a minute. Then I saw, now when you see TMZ break it, it's a wrap. Like, I could not believe it. Where were you when you heard that Prince passed?
I was at work, or I was getting ready for work, I think, because it was early morning, and I heard them talking about it on the radio, and I was like, nah. And then I was like, wait, because at first they said that he was in the hospital, or he showed up to the hospital like a week before that with pneumonia, and the hospital could not guarantee him a private room, so he left and he went home because he was doing a concert. He was on tour, and he left it, and then he left and actually went back to the concert, performed, and then he went home because he didn't bother to cancel the concert because they wouldn't give him a private room. So I had heard that he was sick before. So when I heard he died, I thought it was just a rumor. I was like, oh, God, so first he was sick last weekend, almost canceled the concert. Now this
right.
is dead. Until I heard Steve said it, you know, listen to the traffic report, I was like, no. And this was April 21st is when he died. And I was like, this can't be true, because the Prince is such an icon. I had so much respect for him in terms that he lived life on his own merit. Prince, you know, he lived life to his own beat. He made his own rules in terms of how he wants to live his life and not how other people wanted him to live his life. So I respected him across the board for all of that. I'm at a loss for words right now just thinking about Prince and, you know, 1999, all the different Ice songs, Purple Rain. I mean, he was a musical genius. His ability to put words together and to articulate himself was amazing. And then, you know, he was a risk taker too. He was, I think, another person for our generation, for our era, you know, people that born in the 80s, 90s that inspired to be artists, that he was another icon that broke barriers, that taught them to take risks and taught them to step out there and not be afraid and, you know, to believe in yourself, write your own music, stand up against the record company, because I believe he was the first artist before Michael Jackson went into battle and had to sue Sony Records, was the first one to sue Sony Records and take over his own music and ownership of his music, that you're not going to make millions of dollars off of me and then give me pennies.
Right.
And even Toni Braxton, when she was going through the whole issue that she had with them too, Prince was the first phone call that she got. And he told her exactly what to do and how to do it.
Wow.
And, you know, and it's so, and the only thing that saddens me sometimes when you hear the loss of not just icons or influential people in our culture is that you don't appreciate them until they're gone, or you don't know who they are beyond just their music or whatever talent it is that they display to the world unless you look it up, because nobody knew that Prince was such a great philanthropist and that he because of his religious belief, because he's a Jehovah's Witness, and they're not allowed to publicly talk about anything that they do because you're supposed to be really doing things behind the scenes and let God reward you publicly is what they believe. So even a lot of the charities, schools, all of those things that he built and people that he helped them through the few direct people that was involved in his life. Like he will give a donation to a charity, but he gives it under, say, I'm giving a donation to a charity and the RD, and she gives it under my name just to camouflage that it's not directly coming from her. And that was the kind of things that he did. There's so many, and now after he passed, you know, those close people are coming out and talking about even when the New Orleans, everything that happened in New Orleans, he was a big contributor of building a lot of the homes to put those people back in homes, doing the free concerts. He did that when Lauryn Hill got into trouble and they were going to sentence her for tax evasion. Her team of people said Prince was one of the first people to call, and he was like, where's her children? He wanted to know what was going to happen to her kids. How much does she owe? He was that caring of a person. People would not think that, know all of those things about him. So I, you know, apart from his music, because I did see quite a bit of interview with him even before his death, because he's always been outspoken and very vocal about not getting into politics. He didn't even vote. Well, a part of their religious belief, they don't vote. You know, they don't vote. They don't celebrate Christmas. They don't celebrate birthdays and any of those things. And I even wonder if that's a part of the reason why he didn't even make a will, because there's no will now about what's going to happen to his music, his estate, nothing like that. He had none of that stuff prepared at 57.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, but I can go on and on and on about Prince. People are still celebrating Prince. You still see Prince,
yes,
celebration and party popping up all over the place, you know, and all of that type of stuff. People are still people are still in disbelief. But you know, they did come out with autopsy report. The coroner did reveal that he died from an accidental overdose of painkiller, is what they're saying. Because he was in a lot of pain because he was suffering with pneumonia, but he left the hospital because they wouldn't, would not guarantee him a private room. And then he went back and finished his concert that night and went home, but he was sick. And pneumonia is something for anyone not to play with.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, people are still, but in all, we had some great music out of Prince. That same weekend when he passed away, I went to a day party because my friend is moving out of state. And she wanted us, my friend and church sister, she wanted us girls to get together. So I went to the House of Blues to meet up with them that Saturday afternoon, and it was just all Prince. Everybody in there was singing on the top of their lungs. It was just all Prince songs, just blasting through the microphones. It was crazy, but it was so, you know, till people started even getting emotional. But it was so good, though. It was just, it was amazing to see how people celebrated him. Like, he's one of those people. I think in some sense, he's, you know, he's up there with Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson, but in a sense, you got the feeling that it even became bigger than Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston when people were talking about Prince. And even now, we're in June, and I still see parties on my timeline of Prince celebration.
I didn't realize that this happened. Like, it didn't dawn on me how it happened in April.
Yeah, he died April 21st.
There's still Prince parties. People still have Prince's logo. Like, I'm seeing names. So I'm like, okay, let me go to your page because I really don't remember what you really look like because you've been Prince since April
21st. Yeah.
Prince's birthday was a couple days ago.
Yes. And you notice how they always say people, you passed away right around your birthday or right after?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is ironically funny too, but you know, man, yeah. And then when I thought, okay, this is it, you know, since we're touching entertainment first, I thought that was it. And then of course we had to deal with Jen Crouch. Jen Crouch is the founder and CEO of TBN Network, which is Trinity Broadcasting Network. Trinity Broadcasting Network is the largest network in the entire globally. It's bigger than CBS, NBC, Fox, all of that, because it's in more homes than any other network across the country. And she died. She was 70-something years old. Amazing woman. She loved God. I mean, she, when you saw Jen Crouch, if you are one of those very religious people that think women are supposed to wear their skirts down to their ankles and their head wrapped up and stuff like that, then you would say Jen is not a Christian, because she is the epitome of Barbie. Jen has this big hair and it's pink. Yes, believe me, I said pink. It's platinum blonde / pink. Eyelashes out to here, makeup and all, the nails, all of that stuff, glammed out from I was a kid. She is the first thing how I knew people wear false eyelashes. Growing up as a teenager in Jamaica watching TV, and I figured out people, even there was even false eyelashes from watching Jen. And her story was when her parents were so religious and so strict, they weren't allowed to play with Barbies. They weren't allowed to play with dolls or none of those type of things because, you know, they didn't allow the secular world into their life. So when she grew up, somebody gave her, or somebody, another child or something, had a Barbie, and she admired all the little clothes. You know how Barbie comes with their little outfits and stuff like that, and they're all dressed up. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so from then, she always wanted to be a Barbie. So because she said she didn't get to play dress up like little girls, and she didn't get to put on makeup, and she was fascinated by it. When she became an adult and was able to make her own choices, she started dressing up like Barbie, and she loved it. But besides that, she loved Christ. She loved people. They have done so much for other countries in building schools, feeding the hunger, the poor. All you have to do is look up Trinity Broadcasting Network, and you get an idea of who Jen is. She's also an inspiration. She and her husband Paul Crouch, he died a few years before her from cancer. He was battling colon cancer. He was a survivor for many years. It came back till it finally took him home to the Lord. But those people are inspiration that when you have a dream and you have a goal and a passion to do something, you do it, because they first started out by renting a space on somebody else's network until they were able to build their own. So in a sense, for me, it's even a lesson that never despise small beginning. So owning now the largest network in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's basically Jen and Paul Crouch.
I didn't know all of that. Like, I had no clue until Stacey told me the other day. You know, you see TV, and like right now, I can imagine their logo. I believe it's purple with.
Yes, it's purple gold. Too. Yes, it's purple and gold, and it is.
And if you've been in a situation where it's one of them channels you got, even if you don't have cable.
Yeah, I do. Even if you don't have cable, you can get TBN.
Right. If you, cable or not, you pass through a TBN, if not stop and watch it. And there were quite a few celebrities that visited, some that have changed their life and wanted to, and was invited on the show.
And
so,
you mentioned that, Dee, it broke a lot of career for celebrity. One of the most prolific pastors and sought-out minister right now, Bishop T.D. Jakes, Jan Crouch and Paul Crouch saw him in Virginia when he had his little church and invited him to TBN to do to host or to preach one of the, because you know you can be in the audience and they have the preachers come in live and do a ceremony or whatever it is. And they invited this little boy, well, I wouldn't call him a little boy, but you know, this little small town preacher up in the hills of Virginia to come on. And back then, this was in the, I want to say, the early 2000s. T.D. Jake was a minister that really was for women. Because you know, throughout the Bible or throughout our century, they have used the Bible to kind of imprison women in a sense where we're not allowed to do certain things. We're not allowed to take leadership role. We can't preach. You can't, you know, they use the Old Testament. You walk how many steps behind your husband, all of that type of thing. They just took it to another level. So men have used this, ministers and husbands and all of that type of stuff, and from different culture and different religious belief, to sometimes imprison women. And he was the one person that was giving them their power back. And he's talking about Ruth and Esther and all these women of the Bible that has done powerful things that God used. So so when that hit the airwave, his journey went through the roof. That was what changed his entire career until he moved to Dallas and became this mega church and everything. But that was what did it. And I can go on and on for so many other them. Donnie McClurkin, all of them. It broke so many barriers for them because, as Dee said, even if you don't have cable, you have TBN. So imagine all these eyes from all over the country that is fixated on you being on that network.
Right.
Now you're in thousands of countries, thousands of homes, and you people are known who you are now. And he invited Steve Harvey, and that's TV to TBN when T.D. Jake had a segment on there, and that's what gave Steve Harvey now the platform that he has and the celebrity status that he has. It started with T.D. Jakes. Even the other day, because I used to tell her, and she was like, no, she didn't pay me any attention. Till the other day, I came home and she said, so you were right. I said, about what? She said she was watching an interview with Steve Harvey, and you said he was reminded of how T.D. Jakes is one of those men that he respects even though he's a minister, because he understands the humanness of people. And he understands that, yes, he's in entertainment, but he also thought that he was a man that also loved God. He loved his family, and he makes mistakes just like everyone. And when he was in a bad situation, he reached out to him. He reached out to him because he saw, as he said, when he knew that he needed a hug. And he reached out to him and invited him on to talk and just to minister with him And that opened up so many because people saw another side of him. You know, people see you on doing one thing and they think that's all you are and they use that to judge your whole life. That was what was happening. And from there on, then T.D. Jakes invited him to do MegaFest, the first comedy show that T.D. Jakes put on for MegaFest. And now he's got all of these other platforms of people realizing this guy can do more than dirty jokes. He can do comedy without dirty jokes because he has to come up with a clever way of entertaining all these thousands of people without using one curse word. And it opened up other doors where people realize he's multi-talented. He can host game show. He can do this. He can do all that. So, girl, I can go on and on about that. But anyways, you know, we only have an hour, so we got to try to get through everything. But yeah, I can go on and on of how influential Jen Crouch and Paul Crouch has been to not just the Christian community, but even people of the secular community, as Dee touched on. So many celebrities have come on, give their life to Christ, talk about their faith, because sometimes they don't talk about these things or they're hiding the dark because they're afraid it may threaten their career, it may close door, people may look at them differently. All sort of the scary thoughts and things that we have about this world that, even though we're supposed to be a country of, you know, free press, free religion and all of that under our constitution. However, when you're in certain business, you're afraid to show a certain part of you because you think it may not give you the career that your career may not go in the same direction. It may close door. People may look at you different, or people have their own perception and our ideas of what they think you need to look like, or what they think religion needs to look like, or how they think you need to behave and act and live because you are a follower of Christ or because you believe in him. And basically, in my opinion, it's not our job. God is God all by himself. He don't need any help from us. So let the Holy Spirit do what it needs to do within those people and let them live.
You know, we also lost another great, which was Muhammad Ali at the age of 74. He passed away on the 3rd, so it's been a little bit over a week. Yeah. And they had a funeral yesterday, June 10th. They had his funeral. The funeral was televised. I didn't see it. I didn't watch it. And even if I was, I don't know that I would want to watch it. I think a lot of people watched it because there were celebrities there. They want to see if there's people that they recognize. I also feel that there's also kind of people that would love to be there, know that they couldn't, you know, because we couldn't just say, hey, we're going to go to the funeral, you know. Nope, not just anybody could show up.
He planned his funeral before he died, you know, so he made that possible for regular folks to go. The problem is he only made 15,000 tickets available, and they were gone within an hour because people were lined up at 5 a.m. He planned his funeral before he died. So he made, because he knew it was going to be this big, he made 15,000 tickets available for people of the regular people from the public. And it was gone within an hour. We were lined up since 5 a.m. to get the tickets. But some of the network, like CNN, was reporting is that they found that some people who did line up to get the tickets were trying to sell them on Craigslist, eBay, and those type of things, you know, to rip off people. But that's not what he wanted, because he planned his funeral with his daughter and his family before. So there were regular people in attendance among the 15,000 people that the tickets were gone within an hour.
Dang.
Right. It was, yeah. Because last night I was, you were up around the same time I was up, ironically, because I saw you share a post on your website. That was like 2 a.m. But anyways, yeah, I was up looking at little clips, and I was on BBC America reading some of the reports, and I was like, I am very glad. I'm like, even in his last days, you know, he's still a person that was for the people. Because nobody, you know, he planned his own funeral before the time, and then he knew that people were going to exploit and whatnot, and he was such a lover of the people and for the people. He made sure that he planned it in a way that they had 15,000 tickets. Can you imagine 15,000 tickets available for regular folks? People were lined up from what BBC American, CNN was reporting since 5 a.m. They were gone within an hour. Yes, some of those people were not honest and were trying to take advantage of the situation by selling them, but the point is he did his job. He did his part. But, yeah. So, but Muhammad Ali, as, you know, Dee mentioned, man, that man, he was more than just a boxer. You know, one of the great quotes that I guess for people in the boxing arena and entertainment remember him for is when because my mom was a big boxing fan. So that's how I grew up, even knowing about who Muhammad Ali is when he's talking about floating like a butterfly, stinging like a bee. But apart from that, it was smack right in the middle of the civil rights movement. And what's the singer, D? The one that Michael Jackson was his inspiration and his role model. That said, I'm black and I'm proud. What is his name?
Oh,
shoot. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. But you know who I'm referring to, right?
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Before him, Muhammad Ali was the first person to publicly claim his blackness.
I'm so embarrassed. Anybody that's listening that knew it was changed.
I cannot remember his name. And it's on the, believe you me,
no.
When I say it's on the tip of my tongue.
You didn't hear me.
What?
Anyone that's listening that knew it was James Brown, please
yes.
forgive me.
Yes, James Brown. That's who it was. James Brown.
You're actually on earlier than you're normally on, so please, I know it was just an hour earlier. But
yes, forgive me, folks. Forgive me. I should know that off the top of my head. But, yeah, before James Brown, you know, was saying I'm black and I'm proud, Muhammad Ali was humming that publicly and saying I'm black and I'm proud and I'm pretty. That gets me all the time. He's black and he's proud and he's pretty. And he just gave back then black people, because that was during the civil rights movement and era and time when we weren't even allowed to share bathrooms and water. It was just crazy, some of the things that were still happening in the very far south and all of that type of stuff. And he gave black people a sense of pride, a sense of hope that it's okay for you to be proud of the color of your skin, the talents and the abilities that we have, you know. And he did not, because me and Dee, we kind of discussed this a little bit last week about him on the show, that he didn't care whether or not it was going to affect his career or if it was going to close doors or nothing like that. And that was very impressive to me, that, you know, that he was a proud person and he didn't care what it was going to cost him, because he knew what he stood for and what he was trying to do was bigger than him being a boxer. So, I mean, he's another icon of our time, you know, and he was so respected across the board. Will Smith was one of his pallbearers, also the former champ, Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson, they were also one of his pallbearers. So, you know, he was respected across the board. The president wasn't able to go, but he did send his advisor, you know, and she attended, and she read a handwritten note or a handwritten letter that was written by the president for him. Bill Clinton gave the closing remarks. This is how much of an influence this man had. We're talking about former presidents and you know, people like Will Smith, the former world champion, Mike Tyson, Lennox, all these people are at his wedding. So you had regular folks that he made sure they had tickets available for, was rubbing shoulders pretty much or in the same vicinity with all these celebrities. Can you imagine?
No. Like, even if I was a ticket hoister, I don't think I could have been I was like, can I get an extra couple more? Because I need to be there, you know?
Yeah.
I can't see myself not wanting to be there and be a part, just to be able to say, you know, I was there.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was awesome of him, though. That was really awesome of him. And then, like, even though he, as his daughter said, for her, he's at peace because she saw him being stuck in his body. So now for her, you know, yes, a lot of people are mourning his loss, but she is happy. She said he had 9 children, and all 9 of them, along with his wife, were at the hospital when he passed. And she said, you know, she was pleased. She was happy. Everybody got their final moments with him, and she was happy because over the years, with him suffering with Parkinson's disease, she just saw her dad, this awesome individual, this awesome man, just being stuck in his body, where he's not as expressive as he used to be. But, you know, yeah, his memorial service was yesterday, and they buried him in his hometown in Kentucky, Louisville. So, and people, then of course, people were on the stretch of the road for miles throughout the motorcade where they were taken in. So people were able to see even that way as well. So, you know, as I said, to me, when I look at him, I think his funeral may have been bigger than Michael Jackson and Elvis, you know. I think this probably is bigger. It reminded me of when Bob Marley passed away for us back home. That's how people were lined up for miles from all over the island. You know, that's how it reminded me of, just to watch the motorcade and all of that and people running behind the vehicles and stuff like that from some of the video and the clips that are on with BBC America, CNN, all of that, BuzzFeed, Huffington Post, for miles. It's crazy. It's like there was no end to people.
Right.
But I guess that's entertainment, you know, for us. So the entertainment alone took up half the show because so many things have happened. We have lost so many great icons, you know, so many, and some people regard them as mantle, you know, but I think there is a lesson in all of it. When I look at each of their characters, what they've contributed to the world, which was bigger than themselves, you know, I really think, you know, this is, God is telling us something too, in a sense, like it's a, you know, if there's a message, there's a subliminal message that is behind it too, you know. So that's my personal beliefs and opinion. No one has to agree with me, but yeah. But, you know, that is it for what we have for entertainment. I guess we can touch on politics for the little time that we have. So did you want to start, Dee, with the most current news affairs or, oh, gosh, politics?
Well, you know, just shifting over, you know, it's just so much stuff going on. I'm such a news buff. I'm always, did you hear what happened over there in so-and-such, you know, over in New York, or you hear what happened in downtown Dallas the other night, and actually Stacey just
about
another artist who had an untimely death last night. And it's just, now this story was just crazy. It may not be one of the major, it's a major news story right now. Like, you go on, it's one of the top stories, regardless of your browser, is Google, Bing, Yahoo, MSN. It will be, or it is one of those stories that's flashing on top of the screen about the young lady that lost her life at a concert last night. Christina, is it Christina?
Yeah, Christina in Orlando. She was one of the number 6 finalists in, what is that, The Voice?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just crazy, crazy, crazy. Like, when she, when I Googled just now, you know, celebrities that passed in 2016, when you pull that up, Wikipedia has an extensive list. And it's not just the U.S., but she was on the list today, died at the age of 22. But as Stacey mentioned, I mean, there's so much going on. Regardless of who, now, this is huge. Regardless of what political, where you stand in politics, you know, who you want to win as far as who you want to be the next president of the United States, Hillary Clinton has made history. She's done it. She is the, oh my gosh, I just lost my girl. She basically overcame so much scrutiny to become the 2016 Democratic candidate, presidential candidate, you know, and I didn't know that she would make it to this point. She is the first woman, and correct me if I'm wrong, she's the first woman of a major party to have secured the her party's
candidacy in the House seat. And what makes it so historical is because we're just coming off the final era of a two-term first African-American president. Now we have secured, you know, from the Democratic side, the first woman to made it this far into politics, which possibly could be the first female president. How historical and monumental would that be if, you know, come November, she is indeed elected the next president? We would have had the first African-American president and the first female president.
It's, you know, this is some stuff that our, you know, forefathers, ancestors, and not too far removed elders would have never imagined.
Yes, right.
You're right. That's a good point. Barack Obama, first African-American president of the United States, and then to follow that up, we're speaking this in existence, for Hillary Clinton to be the next president of the United States. It's just amazing to me what she has been able to overcome. Now, I will say I would have preferred Bernie Sanders to be in this spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important that he did, however, stay in the fight, because had he, every time somebody drops out, you risk losing votes to the other party or a different candidate. Well, there was no other real candidate out there, and if he would have backed down, I hate to say, I can't say that all of them would have voted for Hillary, and they may still not. But, you know, I hope he rallies the support and get behind her for those wavering Democrats who may have wanted him but are dead on that I'm not going to vote for Hillary. So hopefully he'll be able to get behind that and, you know, support her as she moves on to the White House.
I hope so, too, Dee. I completely agree with you on that point. I actually would have preferred him just because there are certain things that happened in the Clinton administration that I did not really approve of, and she was, you know, in endorsement of that, and it did not do for people of color any justice. From that political standpoint, it made me question, you know, but I have to say, though, since, you know, she is nominated, she's better than what the Republicans have to offer at this point. And our current President Barack Obama, is endorsing her. So I'm waiting to see this week if Bernie actually jump in and start endorsing her as well, because then at least that would give them a better chance if he does. So for the people who don't endorse him, will naturally, I think, would move over to supporting her. So I'm hoping to see that happen this coming week. So I'll be keeping my eyes open to see that happen. And start, you know, and he just start rallying around his supporters to support her and start campaigning that way. Because quite honestly, if that doesn't happen, I'm just telling you right now, I'm packing up my little bag. Tell me if you want to come. I'm heading somewhere else, child. Because I don't know, you know. You saw the headline news this morning, because last night was the, because we are also, you know, to still a little bit on policy, but kind of veer from that a little bit. So we're also in terms of right now, the Cavaliers are fighting for the title right now of the NBA Finals. And you saw that protester that went out on the court without his shirt, saying that Donald Trump sucks, which he had to be escorted off the court by police. So yeah. It's just, yeah. And then he had himself, Trump, had his first, as they're saying, untelevised or unscripted, which I don't know if all of his meetings could have been scripted with some of the things that come out of this month, but supposedly yesterday was the first until one that will not have any monitors for him to read from, you know, telemonitors or whatever it is, and he's going to be just talking from his heart last night. And, of course, it broke out in as usual. They had uproar of people and whatnot. Five people got arrested. It turned into mayhem is what happened. You know, and I'm a little bit surprised that they are reporting or the commentators are saying that he won't have any teleprompts to read from because, you know, and I'm like, did he have teleprompts to read from before? Because some of the things that comes out of the man's mind, I can't believe somebody actually wrote that and gave it to him to say.
Well, you know, just because they wrote the teleprompter does not mean it just fits with the script, you know.
Right. So, yeah, so that's what happened last night in the – or yesterday, I should say, in the report that he had last night. And as I said, people were arrested. It turned into mayhem. And all of that stuff is happening where around his political party. You know, there's still controversy and things going on with him where he's being sued for his Trump University for fake, professors. You know, they're not getting anything accomplished like what he promised in terms of the tips, ideas, degree, all of this. His school is not even accredited. So many things. Then, you know, he is verbally assaulting the judge right now that is in charge of. It's just a mess, guys. It's just a mess. When I look over that side of the political party, and I'm just hoping that, you know, America wake up pretty soon. This is just Stacey talking, Stacey Simpson's opinion. And, you know, just do the right thing. You know, not because this is not Apprentice the show. It really is not. And not because you have made a couple millions in real estate. That you know nothing about political negotiation. You haven't studied the law. You haven't studied the foreign currency policies, economics. You haven't done any of that. So I'm not sure how is it that you thought that you're fit to be the president and is able to make global decision on behalf not just a people, an entire country, where you have to have allies and have make intelligent decision that is going to be beneficial to everybody, not just to suit your agenda or whatever or what your allies that you're trying to protect. It's just crazy. But hey, that's all I have to say when it comes to that particular part of the political segment of it.
Yeah, it's just a lot of things have happened. I hope whoever we have in the office will make great and better decisions. The recent legislation that was hammered down regarding gender identity, whatever gender you identify with is the bathroom you go into. To me, that is ridiculous. I don't think it was necessary. And we had a show about this last month about mm-hmm. the decision and the fallout and everything behind that. But that is just as a historic law as when same-sex marriages was approved or accepted by the government as well. You know, it's just it's just something about people not trying to offend and forgetting what we hold true and what is very important for us. This right here is beyond someone feeling comfortable. It's a safety issue. In Florida, a man went into the women's restroom, found a 13-year-old in the restroom. They were at Jimmy John's, I believe, some sandwich shop. And this happened last month.
Yeah.
The same week that the legislation went down, this man, grown man, in his 30s, goes into a restroom. A little girl is in there. Her mom is in the store. And I have a 14-year-old. I don't follow my daughter to the restroom unless it's a big store. And to be honest with you, those are private and safest places to be because you always have traffic. But with that being said, he had choked the girl nearly unconscious. You know, when you have it to where it's going to be a norm where men can walk into the restroom, you know, and people don't look twice, it becomes a safety issue. I'm telling you right now, we get it to where if it gets to where men are just openly walking into the restroom, I'm not going to the public restroom. Or whoever I'm with, guy, we all going to walk in the bathroom together. You're going to have to come in the women's bathroom with me, stand behind that door, and hold it. Or peep out, make sure nobody's coming in there, you know. It's just ridiculous.
It's scary, Dee. I'm in agreement with you. You remember back in the day when guys used to do that, used to escort their dates to the bathroom and stand outside, like to watch guard? It looks like they're going to have to start getting back to that, as you're saying it. It was very popular back in the day, but, you know, they're not really doing that anymore. But it looks like, yeah, it's going to have to start becoming a habit again of them, you know, doing that even for their little daughters. And because you never know. And then the thing is, when they get dressed up, you can't really tell. So he may be standing outside watching guard, unless, as you say, he stand directly inside the bathroom and hold that door, because he may see somebody else walk in and did not know that, oh, you know what I'm saying? Because you can't tell a difference anymore. Because now, you know, we have cosmetic surgery, which is affordable. Now, you know, they have payment plans and people taking out even loans, mortgaging their house and those type of stuff to get enhancements where you can do fillers in your nose to make your nose even straighter without actually having to go underneath a knife, you know, so their features can look more feminine. There's so many other, you know, hormone pills are available to them now, all of those type of things, you know, to change the structure of their body and how they feel. So it's very difficult. It's hard for anyone to tell anymore. So we live in a world now where people are so guarded and have their guards up, and they wonder why people even have trust issues when it comes to just dealing with people on a day-to-day basis and even in relationship, because there's just so many things that's going on that you have to be so vigilant. You can't even have, you don't even have time to breathe. Look at that little girl in the Dollar Tree, that broad daylight, that this man tried to kidnap this woman's child. It's just crazy.
For those of you that didn't know or haven't seen the video, there's the video. It's not 100% clear, but it's clear enough to see a big grown man trying to abduct a girl who we later find out is a teenager, 13, 14, broad daylight at a store, a Dollar General, in front of her mom.
Yes, our mom sat on her. There was a tag of war between both of them.
And just imagine if he would have made it out with that child. Luckily, because, and I don't walk around the store. A Dollar General, those are small. My kid is not always right next to me when I'm walking around. Sometimes we tag team each other at Walmart. I'm just to be honest. She have a basket, I have a basket. You get these items, I'm getting these items, we'll meet up here. That's what we do. So what if the mom wasn't with the girl, that close to the girl, you know, maybe on the next aisle, this man runs and tries to grab her. Yeah, and the mom sits on the girl, and then the man eventually leaves, and ironically, or thank God, I don't even say ironically, thank God, there was a cop there that just so happened to pull up and arrested the man.
Yeah, the cop was coming out when he was trying to get out, so he bumped into him. And she's screaming, so that's how the cop got him, because if probably he was sitting in the car or something, he probably could have gotten away on foot or something. But he was actually coming through the door when he was trying to get out. So. It's just, but, you know, as we said, there are so many things that have happened throughout this year, and there's so many crazy things going on in our world. We can go on and on and on, and we just touch on entertainment and politics. But even if you think about natural disasters and you know, all over the world there's things happening. But, you know, I mean, there's a flooding that happened in the UK where there was some place that was deemed unlivable. You know, even here in Texas, we had amounts of rain, you know, that they went in to try to rescue a couple of people in I think it was Houston that happened in when that tanker overturned with the officers. Four of them died and one of them is still missing. They still haven't found his body up till today. And also in Europe, too, as well. And, you know, Italy, that part of the country, too, there was flooding for days, you know, where people lost their lives and their homes. So there's tons of things that have happened this past year. And we don't want to, you know, just talk about the gloom and doom and all of that type of stuff. There's some great things that have happened, too. But, you know, it's just there's so much that happened over the course of the year, you know, from politics to entertainment to sports and, you know, all of that era and the things that has happened. But it just, to me, it's a reminder that life is short and it's fragile. And whatever time that you have, do the things that you want to do. Enjoy your life. Live it on your terms, but also live it in consideration of your fellow human beings that you share this earth with. You know, the people that are in your life, tell them that you care about them. Tell them that you love them. Tell them how much you appreciate them and how much you value them. Don't wait until they're gone or when they're not here or for something tragic to happen for you to say it. Because as I said, you know, and I think me and Dee are both in agreement, there's so much has happened from, you know, from a racial perspective, Black Lives Matter, you know, things are happening every day in Detroit and Baltimore. You know, right now I think there's just so many things that is happening. But, you know, besides all of the bad and all the stuff that are happening, just try to look at the positive things also about life, that we're still here, life still goes on, and there's still hope as long as there's still life. You know, so basically those are some of the highlights and some of the things that we wanted to bring to you guys' attention that's been happening across the world and that is currently happening right now as we are at the six-month mark of the year. And just to encourage everyone, you know, to reassess your goals. You know, if you need to pick up speed, pick up speed. If you need to retweet some things, revisit some things, you know, look at what you could have done differently, you know, in the past 6 months, and just start over. You know, we still have six more months to go. You can make headway. You can certainly move some mountains. So, you know, just retweet some things, revisit some things, and just start again. And, you know, just keep grinding and keep pushing it. And that's basically my tip and what I have to say when it comes to being at a six-month mark of the year. And be grateful for small beginnings and for the steps that you have made and the changes that you have made and the things you have done so far. You know, don't beat yourself up. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. We all have 24 hours in a day, so make the most of it.
And I don't have anything else to add to that. That's a perfect end for today's show. Definitely stay tuned to next week's show. Continue to support us. We definitely appreciate it. You know, we are drawing on 10 months. In August, it will be a year.
Yes.
August 8th, if
yes.
I am correct.
Yes,
so
it is.
So definitely appreciate the following, the support, your input, your feedback, your likes, your retweets, your shares, all of that, your suggestions, your criticisms. We appreciate all of that, your call-ins. Fortunately, we don't have access to the data board to be able to see who all is calling today due to technical difficulties with Blog Talk. So for those of you who may have called in, we can't see you. So sorry.
Yeah, I apologize for that.
That might be a good thing because we can remember James Brown.
I apologize for that, guys. Yeah, remind me, I had a brain fart this morning. I'm sorry, but I do know who James Brown is. Don't be fooled. I do know James Brown is. I knew that Michael Jackson was a very much one of his great admirer and all of that. But anyways, nonetheless, as Dee said, thank you, and thank you for reminding me about that, Dee. Yeah, we're unable to see the dashboard due to technical difficulties, but if you did call in and you are listening live, we do appreciate you guys. So we appreciate you tremendously, and we thank you for, you know, spending your time with us, and even when sometime our time changes, you know, we're still here. We always try to make sure we do it at least 24 hours so you guys have time to adjust your schedule and all of that good stuff. But, yeah, we thank you for your support and your continuous following. And, you know, hit us up on Facebook, our social media. We're all across the board the same Tea Talk time on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Let us know what you think and any thoughts, opinion, or subject that you would like us to touch on or discuss. And I think that is all we have. You know, it's the sun is coming out here in Dallas, Texas. Get out, enjoy your Saturday, enjoy your weekend and your family, and I guess and we will see you guys next week.
All right, till next time. You guys have a good one.
All right, bye.
Bye.